Bible podcast. We hope you'll enjoy this message by Pastor Joey Bonifacio.
And as you know, we've been in a journey in Ephesians chapter 6, beginning in verse 13, where I told you to therefore put on the full armor of God, and we were talking about this idea of so when the day of evil comes. The course of the last month and the last few weeks in September, we've been talking about this idea of evil days ahead. And further, in verse 13, it says that when this happens, the point is that you may be able to stand your ground. In other words, when you put on the full armor of God, you will be able to stand your ground. And after you've done everything, meaning you've put on all the full armor of God, then you will be able to stand. Further, in verse 14, it says, "Stand firm then," and gives us the list of the various pieces of armor that God has given us. With the belt of truth buckled around our waist, the breastplate of righteousness, with our feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. Further, it says, in all circumstances, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one. Last week, we talked about the helmet of salvation. And finally, today, we're talking about the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. In review, we've looked at the belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, the shoes of the gospel of peace, the shield of faith, the helmet of salvation, and today, we're looking at the sword of the Spirit. I've entitled this message, Stay Sharp. As you know, when it comes to swords throughout history, there are a variety of swords, many kinds of them. But Paul, in this particular verse, is speaking about a very particular and specific kind of sword. This sword is a short dagger-like thing that the Romans used when you're under personal attack and up-close combat. The name of this sword is the Gladius Hispanensis, which is taken from the Spanish sword, which they defeated in combat and realized how effective this sword was in close combat. The key to the success of this sword was it was very, very sharp. When life becomes out of control, chaotic, confusing, and you need to actually strike back, you need to have something to cause the enemy to back off. You need something that's sharp, and more importantly, something that can strike a death blow. The weapons of this world are of this world, but ours is not of this world. On the contrary, ours have divine power. And that's the point of this message. My first point is the power of God's word. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, at the very beginning of the Bible, written thousands of years ago, yet is as relevant and applicable to us today. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Notice the words in the beginning, the idea of time, the heavens, the idea of space, and finally, the earth, which is the idea of matter. And here we find God creating all that we see that is visible out of something. Now, the question is, how did God create? In Genesis chapter 1, the entire chapter is peppered with the words, "And God said." The power of God's word begins with the creation of the entire world. More importantly, if you read those verses in Genesis 1, he just didn't create the world. He created the entire universe, and thus, because of that, God has power over the universe. Hebrews 11, verse 3 confirms this. It says, "By faith we understand that the universe was formed at what? God's command, God said, so that what is seen was not made but what was visible." In other words, God made it. God's word has power over anything. Consequently, God's word has power over everything. Luke chapter 8 attests to this as we see Jesus in the middle of a storm. In that storm, we find in Luke chapter 8, verse 22, one day Jesus said to his disciples, "Let's go over to the other side of the lake." So they got into a boat and set out. As they sailed, he fell asleep. A squall came down the lake, so the boat was being swamped by, and they were in great danger. A squall, by the way, is nothing more than a sudden storm, something you didn't see coming. And that's one of the things you need when things happen that you didn't see coming. You're going to need the word of God. It says the disciples went and woke him up saying, "Master, Master, we're going to drown." He got up, rebuked the wind and the raging waters. The storm subsided and all was calm. The word of God has power over nature. The word of God caused these things to subside. As the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return to it without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish, so says Isaiah 55, verse 10, so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater, so is my word that goes out of my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which it was sent. The word of God has power to create the world. The word of God has power over the universe. The word of God has power over our hearts. When you look at the word of God, there are several words that come to mind in the Greek. The word of God is known as graphe in its written form. When you see the Bible, the book, the Bible, on a shelf, that word, that Bible is the word of God in graphe form. In other words, it is there in its written form. When you see the Bible in a courtroom in the United States where people swear over the Bible, what that is graphe, the word of God in its physical written form. But the word of God does not stay just in its written form. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12 uses another word for the word of God. It says the word of God is alive and active. And here the word of God is not the word graphe, but the word logos, which means the message of the word. Graphe is the written word. Logos is the message of the word. Hence, we hear in John chapter 1, verse 1, the word became flesh, speaking of Jesus. And the word that says there, the word of God became flesh, was the word logos, because Jesus was the messenger who brought the message. Now, when the word of God graduates from graphe to logos, it becomes alive and active. This is what happens when we understand the message of the Bible, not just seeing the Bible in its physical form, in a bookshelf, or you can swear by the Bible in court, and yet that word does not have any power whatsoever because it is not logos. It is not alive. It is not active. When the word of God becomes active in our thought process, in our life, what happens is the truth of the belt of truth becomes active. It's not something you're just wearing, the same way that you can't just wear a written Bible on your waist. It becomes active. The truth becomes real and active in your life. When the logos, the word of God and its power, becomes true to you in your breastplate of righteousness, not the Bible strapping it in front of your body, but the message of that truth becomes real to you. And you know that the Spirit of God is there with you in its true form, that thing becomes activated. When the shoes of the gospel of peace, the gospel, becomes not graphe, but logos to you, it becomes active, it becomes real, it becomes to have this power that allows you to move forward in your life. When the helmet of salvation becomes logos and not just graphe, that helmet of salvation saves you and protects your mind. And when that shield of faith becomes the basis of that faith, is the logos word of God, it becomes the sword that you need. Hebrews chapter 4 continues in verse 12, sharper than any double-edged sword. The word is no longer just this thing that is dull. The word is not just this thing that's written. The word is not just this thing that sits on a coffee table or on a shelf. It becomes a laser sword, something that's active, something that's real, something that when you swing around begins to cut through different things. In fact, it continues to say it penetrates even to the dividing of the soul and spirit. This is the power of the word of God. It literally divides your mind, your will, and your emotions and separates your soul from your spirit, making your spirit come alive with the power of God. This is the logos word of God. Now, further, it doesn't even say just the spirit. It actually allows you to penetrate deep down to even your physical body, allows you to see that the power of the word of God is real and will affect the way you think, the way you feel, and the way you have motivation. And it goes deep down into your joints and marrow because it judges the thoughts and the attitudes of your heart to the deepest levels and recesses of your heart, your intentions, your schemes, your plans, your motives. Everything is exposed and revealed by the power of the Word of God. The power of the Word of God starts with God creating the whole world through it. God's Word has the power over the universe. More importantly, God's Word has the power over our hearts to activate that. In Ephesians chapter 6, verse 17, though, we find the third word meaning the word of God. Take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Now, this word is not the word graphe, nor is it the word logos. It's actually the word rhema. Rhema is when you speak the word of God, the spoken word of God. And as you notice, the word of God in Genesis 1 and elsewhere, when Jesus spoke to the heavens, he wasn't just Logos and sending a message, he was speaking the power of that word. That's actually how you use this word. When you take that sword, this is physical in nature, written word, when you understand what it's for, but when you speak it, you actually stab the enemy with it. The spoken word of God is really, literally, what this Bible says, what this word says, is the very sword that the Holy Spirit will use to give you the power to stand firm in these evil days ahead. The second point, though, however, is the power of the spoken word, the power to drive the enemy away. In Matthew chapter 4, verse 1, Jesus himself was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. Now, I need you to hear this. The Holy Spirit led Jesus to the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. Some people say, oh, the devil tempted me. You know, there's a time when God will allow that to test how strong you can stand. If Jesus was allowed to do that, God will allow that sometimes, not all the time. You can actually pray to our Father and say, lead me not into temptation, but deliver me from evil. But there will be times, just as in this case, where God wants to know, do you know how to fight in the evil days ahead? After fasting for 40 days and nights, he was hungry. Rightfully so. The tempter came to him and he said, if you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread. There's the temptation. If you are the Son of God, questioning the position, the breastplate of righteousness, the belt of truth, the helmet of salvation, the shoes of the God, questioning all of that. And here Jesus simply answers, it is written. Here is the graphe. Man shall not live on bread alone. Here is the logos. Now, notice what happens. He says, here's the graphe and here's the logos. And the devil took him to the holy city and had him stand in the highest point of the temple. And if you are the Son of God, he said, throw yourself down. And then he goes on to even say, here's the graphe. The devil knows the word. And if you don't know the word as well as he does, you wouldn't know how to stand in the days of evil. He says, for it is written. And Jesus answered him, it is also written. And here is the power of not just the graphe, but knowing the message, the logos, the reality, the truth. Do not put the Lord your God to the test. A third time, again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of splendor, and says, all this I will give to you, said, if you will bow down and worship me. Finally, Jesus said, away from me. There it is, the rhema. Away from me, Satan, for it is written, the graphe, the message. Worship the Lord your God and serve him only. When you get to the place where you understand the power of the sword of the Spirit, when you get to understand that this is not just a physical word, not just a message that is good to know and good for your spirit, your soul, and your body, but the very sword of the Spirit, the devil will leave you regardless of who he is. And the comfort and the attendance of God will be with you. Remember this sword. It's physical. It's a message in it, but it needs to be spoken. And when we speak it, it has the power to drive the enemy away. Secondly, it has the power to produce and make real. As we've seen in the earlier chapter of Genesis chapter 1, when God said, it produced real things and made things happen. When we speak the word of God, things happen all around us. The reality of who God is produces real things. And it says in verse 1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And it says this in verse 2, now the earth was formless, empty, darkness was over the surface of the deep. There was nothing there. And the Spirit of God, remember, this is the sword of who? Not the sword of Joey, the sword of the Spirit of God. And the Spirit of God is hovering over the waters, waiting for what? God saying, let there be light. When you say, this is what God said, let there be light, there will be light. Because that's the power of the spoken word. The power to drive the enemy away, the power to produce and make things real. And finally, the power to change a spiritual situation. In Matthew chapter 21, verse 21, we see Jesus replied, truly I tell you, if you have faith and do not doubt, not only can you do what has been done to this fig tree, but you can also say to this mountain, go throw yourself into the sea and it will be done for you. The point is very simple. When you speak the word of God for its truth, when you say to this mountain, whatever that mountain may be and however big it may be, the spiritual truth is this. When you speak the graphe, the logos, the message of it, and the power to do it and stab that mountain with it, it will be done for you. This is the power of the Word of God. This is the one tool that will allow you to activate all the different pieces of armor that God has given you. This is the one offensive weapon that will finally drive the devil away from you. My final point is, how exactly do you handle the sword of the Spirit? Now that we know that we have this power available to us, what do we do? Well, it says in Joshua 1, put it into your mouth. Joshua 1 verse 8 says, keep this book of the law always on your lips. Put it in your mouth. Keep speaking it. Keep saying it. Keep declaring it, because that is the only way you're going to keep this sword alive. Whenever you're tempted, just as Jesus was, and you will be, whenever you're being deceived by the devil, whenever you're being led in the wrong path, or you find yourself in front of a very high and bad situation or mountain, speak the word of God. That's the way you're going to handle the sword. But secondly, it says, when there is no thing to speak against, meditate on it day and night. Don't just put it in your mouth, put it in your mind. And the more you constantly put that word in your mind, the Bible clearly tells us, you will be like a tree planted by streams of water. You will be immovable. You will bear fruit in season. Your leaves will not wither. More importantly, whatever you do will prosper. How to handle the sword of the Spirit? Put it into your mouth, put it into your mind. And more importantly, Joshua says, put it into practice. Joshua 1 verse 8 says, keep this book of the law on your lips. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be what? Careful to do everything that is written in it. And then it goes on to say, then you will be prosperous and successful. Jesus himself affirms this idea of not just putting it in your lips or putting it in your mind, but to actually do it. When you actually be careful to do everything that's written on it or the Word of God, you will be prosperous and successful. Verse 24 of Matthew 7 says, therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and what? Puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain will come, the storms will come, the demons will come, and they will rise and the winds will blow and beat against your house, yet you will not fall. Simply because you've put your faith, your foundations upon the very rock of the Word of God. In summary, how do you handle the sword of the Spirit? Put it into your mouth, put it into your mind, and put it into practice. Let me summarize this short message. The power of God's Word is that God created the whole world with it. God's Word has the power over the entire universe. And thirdly, God's Word has power over our own hearts. Secondly, the power of God's spoken word is that the power to drive the enemy away. The power to produce and make things that are not real become real. And finally, the power to change a spiritual situation. Lastly, how to handle the sword of the Spirit? Put it into your mouth. Put it into your mind. And finally, put it into practice. Join me in a short word of prayer as we pray this truth that God has given us. Lord, thank you for the power of your word. Thank you that you created the world out of this word, and that you have power over the, and your word has power over the universe. Over our hearts, the power of the spoken word can drive the enemy, produce things and make things real, and change the spiritual situations around us. Teach us to put your holy word into our mouths, into our minds, to put it in our hearts, and to put it into practice. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the Every Nation Singapore podcast. We hope you've been blessed by today's message. For more information, visit everynation.org.sg.